Today's program brought to you by Union Beer, purveyors of world-class ales and lagers. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. This is a special recording of the Bronx Beer Show. This is New York City Beer Week. We're doing a special pre-record up in the Bronx at the New Bronx Brewery with Chris and Damien. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Today is Tuesday, February 24th, and we're in the Bronx. All right, thank you to our sponsors, Union Beer Distributor, supplier of world-class ales and lagers. Jack, it's a pre-record. You're going to edit that. Thank you. If you have questions for our guests today, you can tweet us at @beer_sessions. Thanks so much. We've got some great guests tonight. We've got Chris Gallant and Damien Brown, the Bronx Brewery. You guys, I'm so proud of you. When I first met you, you were self-distributing, and now you've got your own brewery in the Bronx. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So it must mean a lot to you. It's New York City Beer Week. You know, just tell us a little bit about what you went through to open your brewery, because, you know, there's how many breweries in New York City now? There must be, like, at least 13?
No, there's close to 20, right, guys?
Well, physical breweries, I think it's 16.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, about 15, yeah, physical, and over 20.
So just in a few short years since you guys started?
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a long time coming for us. I met Chris probably, 4 years ago?
2010.
Yeah, 4 years ago, and 4 or 5 years ago, and opened the doors here in September, did our first brew. And it's a long time coming. It's been a great ride. Obviously, we're enjoying brewing beer here in the Bronx and getting people into the tasting room and seeing what we're doing. So,
well, it's quite a way out here. I mean, I think one thing about Beer Week is visiting all the new breweries. I mean, you can go out to Glendale and go to Finback and go up to Gun Hill Road to Gun Hill. You get David Lopez is here from Gun Hill. And coming out here to the Bronx, it was quite a ride. I took the Willits Avenue Bridge from Manhattan. And where are we right now? And I drove around for a few times.
Yeah, so we're in Port Morris. So we're basically as far southeast in the Bronx as you can get. So it's 3 stops in the Bronx on the 6 train, or right off the RFK, or right off 87. So pretty easy to get to.
Yeah, we're on 136th Street. So
it's pretty awesome. It seems like the breweries are going into neighborhoods where there's nothing. I mean, is that kind of what has to happen for you guys, for real estate?
Well, I mean, I think if you're a brewery and you need 10,000 square feet and you need 25-foot high ceilings, you've got to go into a neighborhood that has that sort of building available. And that's what this neighborhood is. I mean, this is a pretty industrial neighborhood, so there's a lot of artist lofts around here. There's a lot of moving storage places around here. There's a couple of factories around here. So this is where you go if you want to make stuff in the city.
That's a great place. I was really impressed. You got a nice tasting room. You got a 20 barrel system. Thanks for having us, man.
Right.
We're in the Bronx. We're in the Bronx. So we also got special guests. We got the guys from, where are you guys from?
The Bronx Beer Hall.
Bronx Beer Hall. So yes. Paul and Anthony.
Correct. Yes,
and where is that?
Bronx Beer Hall is actually located in the Little Italy section of the Bronx. It's right in the heart of the Belmont section of the Bronx, Little Italy, real Little Italy of New York. So we're inside the Arthur Avenue retail market.
All right, and our buddy James Langstein from Bronx Ale House. You were the first Good Beer Seal bar in the Bronx.
Yeah. What is that, 4 or 5 years ago now?
Yeah.
We're 5.5 years on 238th Street in the Kingsbridge, Riverdale area. Things are going well. It's great to see, you know, beer bars like the Bronx Beer Hall join us, and definitely, you know, in the last year, two breweries, with physical breweries here in the Bronx, so it's kind of the last frontier for beer in New York City, I guess.
Well, cheers. Cheers to the Bronx.
Yeah, cheers.
Beer Week, Bronx. Cheers. You know, Damon, when we first met you, you were self-distributing to Jimmy's Number 43 and some other places, mm-hmm. And I was really impressed with you guys' work ethic. But you've always impressed me as a brewer. And I think first time that I interviewed you, you went to UC Davis. You're one of the top students. So tell us about your background and what it takes in, you know, this new world of craft beer to make it as a brewer.
Well, thanks. So my background, I started like most people, homebrewing 10, 15 years ago. Just kind of fell in love with beer. Tried to find a way to, you know, make a living out of it, and worked as an assistant brewer and a brewer at a small brewery in Virginia for a couple of years. And yeah, and then eventually decided to take the leap and went back to school for a brewing science degree at Davis, and then moved out to New York to start on this project, and here we are. So that's my background. I think, it's, you know, formal education definitely helps. I think the biggest challenge for, you know, turning a love of beer into a career is just finding the right people to work with, and, you know, sticking through the hard times is certainly a challenge to get something like this up and running.
Well, I was in the brewery with you before, and you've got a canning line, you've got some barrel aged casks going on. Tell us a little bit about the brewery that you set up, and, you know, what you're going to be doing with it.
Yeah, so we think we have a nice little setup here. It's a 20 barrel brew house, 20 and 40 barrel cellar tanks, and the bulk of the beer that we make here will go into either kegs or cans. So we have a canning line from cask. All of our brew house and cellar tanks are from DME up in Canada, and we do some barrel aging here. We've got a bunch of barrels that are ready to be emptied. We're going to be releasing some of our mezcal barrel aged black for Beer Week and some tequila barrel aged pale ale for Beer Week, and those will all go into either kegs or 22 ounce bottles. So we have a small tabletop bottle filler. But the brew house is small, gives us a lot of flexibility in doing, you know, specialty seasonal beers and one-offs. And excited to have it.
And then, Chris, you guys have big plans, don't you? I mean, you have outdoor space. Are you going to expand your tasting room?
That's the plan, yeah. We've got a big outdoor space. We'll show you guys after. It's about 5,000 square feet. So we're hoping to get a lot of people here in the summer. You know, having the outdoor space in New York is somewhat unique, so we're pretty pumped to just fill it with picnic tables, and there's nothing better than drinking a beer in the sun.
Well, we have like some of the best beer guys in the Bronx here, so let's go around the room and each of you talk about the beer that you're drinking, if you know which one you're drinking, because Bronx has, you have quite a few different beers now.
That's a good question.
What are you drinking, Anthony?
All right. I'm drinking the seasonal, correct?
Yeah, you are.
It's the first time I've had it, and I should have spit my gum out before I drank it. So I don't think there's mint in there.
So in the box, it's okay to chew gum and drink beer.
It's never okay, but, you know, I couldn't find a garbage can. It's a new space. I don't want to spit on the floor or anything. You're welcome.
You know, I hate to say anything about the Bronx, but a friend of mine works at the DA's office, and she said that the Bronx is the best borough to commit murder in, but should we talk about
the best borough to commit? Well, you know, before I talk about the beer, let me talk about that. So before we opened the beer hall, my brother and I actually own a company whose mission was to help improve the image of the Bronx. So the Bronx gets a pretty bad rap with, you know, crime and murder and that sort of thing. And so part of our whole mission was to make sure the Bronx, to show the Bronx in a positive light. And I think, you know, that's part of the reason the whole beer scene is even kicking off in the Bronx right now as well. It's not only the last frontier for beer, as James rhymed earlier, but it's also, you know, it's the New York City's proudest borough. And there's a lot to be proud of. There's a lot of great locations here. I mean, you guys have a great space here. The Ale House, we were going to the Ale House for years.
5.5 years.
Before we decided that we didn't want to travel that far to drink. And we opened our own bar. So I think, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I want to say there's a lot of great things going on, and I am enjoying a seasonal ale that you should not drink with gum, but I enjoying is the word. I really like it, and it's my first time having it. So,
yeah, so I'll tell you about the beer.
Let Damon talk more about what's in here.
So that's our spring seasonal. It's a first release, actually a series of beers we've put through our hop back, and so it's the same base beer that we're putting through this vessel that you can infuse different things in. So this one we did with juniper berries that we got from our friends at the New York Distilling Company. So the same juniper that goes into their gin. And the second of the series that we're going to release in about 2 weeks, we'll have, we put rhubarb in the hop back. And the third will be cranberries from a farm.
What do you mean by the hop back?
So I can show you guys down at the brew house. It's a small vessel that you can run the boiled wort through before it goes to the whirlpool. So we have a three-vessel brew house. And so after you've boiled the wort and you're about to transfer to the whirlpool, you can run it through this vessel. It's a small three-barrel vessel, and it has a false bottom at the bottom of it. You can put stuff in it and run the hot wort through it as you pump to the whirlpool. So we've done that with three different things with the same beer. And
This one's juniper.
So yeah, we've already brewed them all. Yeah. And they're all kegged. We're just waiting to release them in sequence. So.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what you guys are drinking. And I think you guys have the Session IPA. And Chris, why do you not have a beer on the radio?
I finished mine. I'm waiting for Andres to bring me a new one.
Yeah. I saw him chugging earlier. It's
funny. Paul from Bronx Beer Hall, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking the rye, actually. This is my first time having it. It's delicious. It's not too bitter, not too strong. It's got some good, just some good overall good flavor. Really easy to drink. It's nice.
And do you carry a lot of Bronx beers at Bronx Beer Hall?
We carry Bronx specific craft beer and beer from within New York State. So right now, you know, we have a variety of things on draft. We have Mackenzie's Hard Cider. We have a Gun Hill Void of Light Stout. We have Omegang Wit on. We have Finback Red IPA. And then I forget what the last one is. But we do five draft beers, and, you know, we circulate and rotate really fast. We feature five different brands on a monthly basis. We do 3 to 4 different styles from each brand, so you have the opportunity to taste 15 to 20 beers from within New York State each month.
That's great.
Yeah.
Damon, the rye. Tell us about that. I've had it before.
So that used to be, that was our first, our second beer that we made. That was our first seasonal, a fall seasonal. 6.3%. It's got a lot of rye in it. It's a quarter of the grain bill's malted and flake rye. So you get a lot of that rye spice to it. And then the rest of the grain bill is all English malt from Unton's. And the hops are Chinook and Crystal. It's a very piney, woody, which I think goes really well with the rye spice. So that's now a year-round beer for us.
You know, when I first met you, you were really talking about the malts a lot. I know we brought along tonight John Mallett from Bell's Brewery has a book out about malt, which is pretty cool. It's very dense, but there's a little bit of the history of malt. And I remember you were one of the first brewers who was talking to me about malt and how that... So... I think
a lot of our beers tend towards the malt more so than hops. I think balance is something we always strive for here at the Bronx Brewery rather than creating something incredibly esoteric. But yeah, I think the malt stands through in most of our beers. So we spend a lot of time sampling different malts. We work with a number of different malt suppliers all over the world, German, Belgian, British, American. And yeah, I like for that to shine through. I think it's, I think a lot of people these days, you know, the very sexy thing in a lot of craft beer is hops and malt, sort of the workhorse that doesn't get a ton of attention. But I like to, you know, put that forward in a lot of our beers.
And then you said you might take a trip to England?
So Munton's, one of our big malt suppliers, is taking a couple of their breweries to the UK to take a tour of their malting facility. So looking forward to that. Touring three or four of their facilities.
What are you going to see there? I mean, what's a malting facility like? Because we know that Sam Adams wasn't a brewer. He was really a maltster in the Revolutionary War era. So, you know, even malt is the building block of beer. But what's a malt facility like?
A malting house has a bunch of vessels where grain is steeped and barley and other grains are basically tricked into thinking they're growing. There's a lot of enzymatic activity. It breaks down complex proteins, carbohydrates, and simpler ones. Plant starts to develop, and then the maltster at a certain point in the modification halts that process and kilns the malt, introduces a bunch of flavor from that kilning process, different temperature regimens, different timing regimens, and that's sort of the building block of, you know, what we as brewers use to produce these beers. So,
cool, man. What are you drinking, James?
I'm also having a rye, which I guess is a few years now since I first had it. And, you know, I love the balance of the malt, you know, certainly significant hop flavor, but not, you know, bordering on the, an IPA or, and really focusing on the malt. So just one of my favorites that Damien's made for a few years now.
Well, this is really great, man. Just, it's so cool. It's New York City Beer Week. Being up here at your new brewery. When did you guys open, Chris?
So we opened in we started brewing here in September, and we opened up in October for the tasting room downstairs. And it's been good. There's been a lot more people in this neighborhood than we thought were in this neighborhood. Right? You walk around during the day, and everyone's working here, so you don't see them. And, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock rolls around, and they're all in the tasting room downstairs. So it's been really cool.
Do they know about craft beer?
I think some of them do. I think some of them are very familiar with craft beer because it's all over the news. It's all over the bars. Some people are, this is their first experience with craft beer, so it's more of an education process, which is a lot of fun as well.
So this week for craft beer week, what are the hours of your tasting room?
So we'll be open during the week, 3 to 9, and on the weekends, 12 to 8. And we're having a couple of events. We're having a big event for cans on the Friday craft beer week, which would be the 20th. We're having
kickoff, yeah. Yeah, that was last the other day, yeah.
An event for local artists here on the 22nd. And then on the 28th, we're having an awesome event with those beers you mentioned earlier, which is the Tequila Age and Mezcal Age beer. So we're having sort of a Mexico and the Bronx event. So we're going to have those beers.
We should go out on Saturday.
The distiller from Scorpion Mezcal is going to come. And
we're going to... folks from Humidor as well for the tequila.
I'll tell you, if I was coming up to the Bronx for Beer Week, I would check you guys out. I would go to Gun Hill.
Yeah.
And I would go to the Bronx Ale House and check out the Bronx Beer Hall, too, Arthur Avenue. All right, guys, we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Beer Network. Hey, it's New York City Beer Week. We're doing a special pre-record up in the Bronx. We're at the Bronx Brewery. And hey, this is how we're celebrating Craft Beer Week. We are in the Bronx with some great
guys.
Gun Hill, Bronx Brewery, Bronx Beer Hall, and Bronx Ale House. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, how Bronx Brewery got started. We've been tasting some of their great beers. And we talked a little about malt, which is an important thing. And, you know, for New York City, for New York Craft Beer Week, a number of the breweries in New York City... made a special beer called Smash, State Malts and State Hops, which you're going to taste. And I know that Bronx made one, and Bridge and Tunnel, and Six Point, amongst others. But we've got Damian Brown, the brewer here at Bronx Brewery, and Davey from Gun Hill. So you guys were talking about hops as well. So in the State Malt and State Hop beer, you guys had the malt, but you also had hops. So what do you think about the New York State hops? You know, a lot of people are growing it. Were you able to find, you know, decent hops in sufficient quantity to make your beer for Beer Week, Damian?
Yeah, so for this beer, we sourced hops. I think everyone from the Brewers Guild here in the city sourced hops from the same farm, Peterson Farms. And certainly excellent quality for the hops that we received. I think we were talking a bit offline about a New York State hop conference that I had been to a few months ago. It was a combination hop growers conference and hop auction for breweries. And I think that, you know, my sort of takeaway from the conference was that, you know, the industry is certainly on its way up here in New York, back on its way up. And I think, you know, it would be great to see growers focus on differentiating from other growers in the U.S. with respect to variety. I think brewers become accustomed to certain varieties of hops. You know, for right now, they're predominantly coming from the West Coast. And so a West Coast Cascade is drastically different than a Cascade grown here in New York. And it is what it is, and I think, you know, New York growers ought to be focusing on growing varieties that can differentiate the industry here in the state.
Which varieties do you think the New York Glass should grow?
I'm not a hop grower, so I wouldn't venture a guess, but that was the takeaway from my perspective as a brewer evaluating the hops that were shown to me. That said, the hops that we used in the smash beer, were certainly of excellent quality, and I'm excited about the beer.
Did you get a sense from this conference that some of these guys, especially the ones that are starting out, because there are so many guys that are just starting out now, that they are doing what they perceive to be the safe hops to grow here because that's what they're told the terrain can handle?
I think that's the way it goes, right? You're like, all right, hey, I got 10 acres of free land. Craft beer is exploding. They use hops. Hops used to be grown here. There's a lot of programs here trying to, improve this industry in the state. So what's everyone using? And they call breweries and like, oh, yeah, I use, Cascade and Centennial and Chinook. And it's like, all right, I'll grow those hops for you. And, I think it's just there's nothing wrong with the hops grown. It's just a set of, the matter of expectations being what they are from brewers. And, so.
Right, but I mean, so my question is more, do you think that these guys, especially the ones that are starting out, because we actually have a teammate of ours who is starting a hop farm.
Yeah.
And he put in, his first hops that he put into the ground were hops that he was told were the safest to grow here, just to test it out.
From, an agronomical standpoint.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Test it out and then see.
That could be the case, and I could be, completely wrong in understanding what varieties are even possible to grow here, but
I have no idea.
I think I guess I was trying to answer the question from a business standpoint, variety wise. I think people were trying to grow the safe hops and understanding that the breweries are using these varieties, let me grow them.
There's always a market for Cascade.
Exactly.
But at the same time, this is I'm leading, I'm not just saying what I want to say, is that these guys might be doing it to test the waters, and then once they see how it comes out, maybe they get a little bit more experimental. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, and if not, does the feedback we need to be giving?
I would say it's a new industry, and I was on a call. There's this thing that the New York State Craft Beer Working Group, and it's mostly agriculture, Department of Agriculture markets. They have guys at Cornell. They're doing tests of all these farms, and some guys, there's Indian Ladder Farms. They're up near Albany. They've been growing hops and grains. They're just roaring ahead and planning whatever they want and trying stuff out. But there are guys like Cornell, they're actually they want to do serious tests because they don't want farms to commit. They need direction. They don't want to commit to growing something that's going to fail.
I think that was the point of the conference, right? They invited brewers to essentially a hop growers conference to give that kind of feedback. And so I think,
These smash beers are really exciting. I think at least 10 New York City breweries made these special beers for Beer Week. So what are the ingredients? I mean, it was certain malts and hops.
It's three of each.
So what are they? I'm trying to figure that out. Because there's all the beers I've had have been so good.
The three hops were what?
Willamette?
Willamette.
Chinook and Cascade.
What was it?
And are they from the same farm?
Peterson Farms.
I don't remember.
So is it like a competition, though? The 10 breweries that made the smash beer.
You're testing my memory here. We brewed it a couple weeks ago.
I believe it was
Willamette, Chinook, and Cascade from Peterson Farms.
And then what about the malt?
And the malt was actually from Valley Malt in Mass.
From New York Grains,
their two-row, a amber rye, and crystal malt.
So what was the challenge? Each brewery had to use the same ingredients?
So yeah, that was, smash was same malts and same hops.
But
so
you could use them
in any however you wanted.
Yeah, any proportion you wanted.
Yeah. I think that's brilliant.
And everyone.
Cheers to you guys. I think this is one of the coolest smash ideas. Yeah. I mean, I know that Jimmy's number 43. I think I got smash beers from at least five or six breweries so far. So
cool.
It's an exciting thing to do with Beer Week, And then about grains, too, you guys. So, Davey at Gunhill, you got Chris Sheehan, who's a longtime brewer.
Yeah.
Won a GABF medal for the Void of Light, that foreign export stout. What are you guys doing for Beer Week? You guys have been very active in it as well.
Yeah, so our smash beer is actually a rye strong ale. We have a couple, probably going to be releasing a black IPA on Friday. Well, actually, it'll be released in the tasting room on Saturday, because Saturday is our one-year anniversary party. And we are also going to be releasing a barrel-aged version of our frosted hop strong ale that we've been aging in Port Morris Distillery's Añejo barrels. So we have a bunch of events. We're going to be at Brewer's Choice tonight. We have a couple of events that...
love that event, man.
Yeah. thought you might like that. We have two events at the Hudson Hotel.
Full disclosure, it's pre-record, but we're pretending it's Tuesday, February 24th.
It's intense.
No, that was amazing.
We're talking about beer, so. We're drinking a lot of good Bronx beer.
Not my first rodeo.
Chris, what you brought us... What's this? I'm drinking a slightly darker...
That's the spring beer. Yeah,
I love
this.
So
juniper. Thank you. So that's the one we also ran through rhubarb. We also ran it through cranberries in the batch 2 and batch 3.
Wow, that's great.
I think that one is a rye.
Yeah, you can have some of that if you want.
What are you doing at the Hudson Hotel? You didn't finish.
Yeah. So there one night. It's all New York State IPAs.
Oh, wow.
And then Friday night, there's actually they're doing a competition for best stout, and the winner gets a line for a month.
Where's this?
At the Hudson Hotel in their beer garden there.
Nice, man.
Very nice.
That's really awesome.
That's cool.
So many great things happening for beer. You guys. I mean, so this is a great beer. Yeah. So this is the Hopback.
Yeah, that hop third series. The third malt was a Vienna malt from Valley Malt.
You're good, man. I saw Damien's looking at
some terrible memories. Terrible memory.
We talked a little bit earlier about, you know, I know you're into malts, and that's how you base your beers, and that's why when you first made your first Bronx Pale Ale, that's what was so great about it. And I remember you talked about that on the air a couple years ago. But so, you know, you're going to go to England and check out a malting facility there. How are, like, some of these traditional, you know, where are the great malt regions, first of all? And then how do they compare to the new malts that you're getting from New York in terms of, like, you know, standards and what you're working with right now? I mean, it's a big question, but...
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting malts from England, Germany...
So, yeah, I mean, for us, the styles that we brew, the bulk of our base malts come from the UK, the US, and for some of them... it's a German malt. Malt's grown all over the place. A lot of tremendous malt is grown, you know, all over the world. Barley's grown all over the world, and malt made all over the world as well. I think we've, for whatever reason, the malts that we've chosen for our beers have been predominantly from those sort of countries. So,
yeah, it is busy working for you.
Yeah.
Part of the key that we thought about too, and this is obviously led by Damien, not by me, but it's you figure out what the varietal is, but then you have to find what maltster you want to use. So we knew that we wanted to use Maris Otter, and then we went through a whole bunch of different maltsters before we finally settled on Munkins.
Mm. Yeah, at least for the flagship. So yeah, so you know, I think a lot of it's just looking at how malt will perform in your brew house, and then, you know, sampling it and looking at the flavor attributes and just kind of working backwards from the concept you have in your mind for a beer and picking the malts at work. And for us, you know, we've got principally four suppliers for all of our malt and been happy with them. So
the malts you get from, like, England or Germany,
mm-hmm.
they're pretty standard. If you order how do you tell us the type of malt you order and how you order them? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
If
I mean,
you're a homebrewer, you're actually ordering
each beer is different. I mean, so for, you know, the spring beer that we're selling now, we've used it's all American malt. But our pale ale has, you know, British and German and American malt.
What I mean to say is that it's coming in consistent. You know what to expect.
It's coming consistent. Yeah, absolutely. Every order you place, you get a certificate of analysis, and so you're able to analyze that particular lot of malt and make any adjustments that you would need to in the brew house. And yeah, I mean, you contract forward for this stuff, you know, similar to hops. I think, you know, you definitely develop relationships with the maltsters like you do with hop growers. And so, you know, it's not something to overlook. It's a key, obviously a key raw material.
That's where the flavor comes from, right? The malts.
is where a lot of the flavor comes from. Yeah, I mean,
hops, well, Anthony,
hops
Anthony,
to their part and James, yeast to their part.
Why don't you guys ask Damon a question about how he brews beer?
How I tore my Achilles tendon.
Yeah, he's hobbling around on
brewing beer right now because he's hobbling around.
Yeah,
I got assistant brewers.
So now you brew just by getting orders, people, right?
Yeah, I just manage. I just manage.
It's popular here at the brewery.
But they, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot about beer.
Well, that's what, I mean, yeah, I was going to say, you know, my brother and I, we kind of look at beer more from a consumer standpoint, right? So, like, even we know part of the brewing process. I obviously, as we talk about malts and all different variations as well, I know some of it and some of it's like news to me and I'm learning as I'm here, so it's always fun to learn something over some beers. But I like to think, my question is more like, yeah, I do have a question. I'm getting there. My question is,
that's
so
the Bronx question.
When you're brewing a beer, right? When you're brewing a beer, are you brewing it to your taste or are you actually going out and sort of testing it and focus grouping it and, you know, having beer drinkers drink it? Or is it more, this is your style of beer, this is what you like, and this is what you're going to put out?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think the bulk of the beers we've made have been beers that Chris and I have wanted to drink. And, you know, I don't know if it's presumptive. I don't know if we're, you know, if that's an arrogant way of looking at it. But it's sort of, you know, the case where, you know, we're going to be drinking these beers at the end of every day. And so we want to brew something we like. And, you know, our hope is that everyone else enjoys them. We brew the beers we want to make. I think all of the beers for us, I mean, we focus on brewing pale ales. And so I think everything that we make, my hope and expectation is that everything we make has, you know, a signature of being a balanced beer and something that's approachable and easy to drink. And so that's something that we look to imbue in all of the beers, mm-hmm. whether it's a, you know, a year-round flagship beer for us or some, you know, seasonal specialty one-off that we make. And so I think that'll be kind of the guiding principle for us as opposed to anything else. So beers we make, beers that are approachable and drinkable and balanced, and, you know, we could certainly do more.
No, you
studies, and if you guys want to help with that, we'd be happy to have you.
You should be your focus group.
I will be your focus group.
Bronx Beer. James from Bronx Ale House. Everything starts with the Bronx. So, you have a question with Damon? I know you did because you've been buying from him for years. So.
It all starts with the Bronx. Well, since we're talking about malts, I guess something that, you know, as a non-brewer, but just an appreciator, I guess, thinking about in this conversation is how much would changing one malt in one of your brews change a brew the way, you know, you see beers come out that are single hop varieties and you can kind of taste the difference between a citrusy hop or a piney hop or an, you know, kind of an earthier hop or something? How much would changing one of your malts totally change
a brew? I think it depends. I mean, there's a, just like in hops, there's a range of malts, right? So you could have something very, very lightly kilned. You know, swapping a Pilsner, you know, a six row malt with a lightly kilned Pilsner malt, you know, or a Vienna malt or something of that sort, negligible difference, but, you know,
without changing the brewing process itself. Times and your temperatures are all the same.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, so our rye has a tremendous amount of rye and it's a quarter of the grain bill. So we treat that differently in the brew house because rye is kind of sticky and difficult to deal with in the mash tun. But yeah, I mean, so the answer to the question is like, yeah, things would change, but it would depend on what malt you're substituting with for what malt. I think when we crafted the recipe for our flagship pale ale, Chris and I sat down and sampled Maris Otter, which is a variety of barley from, I don't know, four or five different maltsters, and they tasted drastically different. They all probably would have performed roughly the same in the brew house, but I think the even just sampling the barley itself, they tasted drastically different. So I'm sure they would have had huge flavor impacts.
Well, you did the right thing when you came out with this.
So let's hope that Martin's doesn't go out of business.
Hey, we'll be back in a few minutes. This is our Beer Week special episode up in the Bronx Brewery on Beer Sessions Radio. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's Beer Week in New York City. Hey guys, it's February 2015. We're up here in the Bronx at the New Bronx Brewery having a great time. I think I'm on my fourth beer, and Damon and Chris, they keep telling me, oh, this is the hot bag beer, and I'm like, what is in this beer? It's like cranberries and... Tell us about Hotback again, because this is great. This is an amazing beer.
Thank you. Glad you're enjoying it. Yeah, that one's got juniper. So the spring beer for us was a series. Same base beer. We've run it through a vessel in our brew house called a Hotback. And we've put different things in the Hotback for each of the brews. So one you're drinking had juniper berries from New York Distilling Company. So the same juniper they use in their gins. And
the second has rhubarb, any rye in there? No, no rye in that beer.
And the second one has rhubarb, and the third one we did with cranberries from a farm upstate.
So this series, is it available only at the tasting room, or are you selling it also?
No, that's available, yeah, through our distributor Union.
So in kegs?
In kegs, yeah, it's draft only, so it's draft only.
That's great, man. I'm going to get that for sure. That's really good. Happy we have some farmers here. This is New York City Beer Week. You guys and Gun Hill and a bunch of other breweries made a special Smash Beer, State Malts, and State Hop Beer, which has kind of been the sensation of Beer Week this year. I mean, just a year ago, you know, there was this small effort at New York City Brewers' Choice that some brewers made a small amount of New York grain beers. And this year, the Smash Beer is huge, and I really appreciate what you guys did, the New York City Brewers Guild, you know, Bronx Brewery and Gun Hill and Kelso and everybody else. But these beers are rocking it, and... So Davey from Gunna, you're saying that you're a New York Farm Brewery's license. So you actually have to use 20% of New York malt and hops in your...
That's right, for the year, yeah. So what I was saying is that right now it's kind of, for farm breweries in general, it's more of a challenge because there are only so many hop producers...
But wait, so farm brewery means you're not a farm...
We're not a farm, but we're supposed to use a certain percentage of local ingredients, meaning ingredients grown in New York, in 20% of our of all. It has to be encompass 20% of our ingredients for all of our beers.
And are you able to get that?
Right. Well, so right now for us, so we're fortunate that Chris, our brewer, he grows. He has about 10 or 11 plants upstate, and he grows hops that we use for one of our beers. And the only hops that we use in that beer are his hops that he grows upstate. And then another one of our beers, our Frosted Hop, which we released in late December, is with all hops from the Hudson Valley. So that's two of our beers that are exclusively New York State hops. So between those two beers and now the Smash beer, we kind of meet our quota just with those two beers alone. But we try and get it as much as we can. And now what I was saying before also is that there are more and more of these New York malt companies that are starting up that are ready, willing, and able to distribute down here to us. But part of the problem is that because they're so small, their price points are so high. And so it's almost prohibitive for us if we want to try and have the same... We have to make a decision because we want to try and, number one, support local, but also meet the requirements of our license... but also not, at the end of the day, completely eat into our bottom line. And so I think that what we're going to see, what we need to see, is the government continuing to help provide more infrastructure for these farmers to be able to grow things and price them out at a lower price point.
And then for both of you guys, again, for the Smash Beer, you guys had to work with kind of new to you, you know, New York hops and New York malts. I mean, what... Did it work for you guys? I mean, did it work in your systems? You know, is it similar, you know, quality to what you're getting from England or Germany or somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited about this beer. So,
I haven't tasted ours yet. It was kegged up before we even got a chance to sample any of it. But from all reports I've gotten is that it came out great. I mean...
It's definitely a cool idea. It's something that we'd like to do more than once a year. So it'd be fun, for the guild to do this a couple times a year.
Yeah, I think it's a really great idea for everyone to be able to do because it just creates a sense of community and camaraderie. Mm-hmm.
With the aspect of competition,
Exactly. And because you know we all use different yeast strains, and we all do different things in general. We all have different things that we're.
Let me ask the retailers here: are you guys planning to pour all of the smash beers, or how do you? I mean, what is the appeal for you guys for having this guild with all of these members?
I think it's a dream come true. I think we've been waiting for a couple of years for New York City Beer Week to have a focus. I think when a couple of years ago, some people said, "Why don't you pick a different style of beer? Have all the brewers make an Abbey beer?" Mm-hmm. And so this is the first time where a number of the New York City breweries are making, you know, some theme. I think that's exciting because I'm going to have a Jimmy's Number 43. I think I have at least five or six breweries smash beers right now, and we're still going to get some more this week.
Right.
I don't know about you, James.
Yeah.
So wait, people are selling smash beers right now?
Oh yeah.
What?
We're still.
It's already sold.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm on it.
Yeah, I mean, we're still waiting on, you know, certain breweries have made their smash beer available. They tell you, you know, don't serve it till Craft Beer Week, of course. But what's exciting about Craft Beer Week every year is focusing on local stuff. And as years go by, there's more and more local stuff to focus on. And that's, you know, definitely what's made it great is that, you know, the small breweries are really the driving force behind it. And, you know, when there's local ones really supporting the bars and supporting the whole city as a whole to make it happen, it's really great.
We're going to have to go over to New York City Brewers Choice soon. You know, we're up here in the Bronx now. But on another note, so you guys are also canning. So this is like, what's the brewery's now in New York. You guys are, you have a brewery and you're canning here. And there's so many logistics involved. I mean, how do you guys make this happen? I mean, really. I mean, I know Damien's, you know, that's your job to make it happen, but how do you make it happen? How do you even, like...
Sometimes I don't. It's just a lot of work. I'm, like, stretched. My organizational capabilities are stretched to the limits. Between sourcing and contracting for raw materials and getting them here on brew day, getting keg collars and keg caps and...
Finding a place to store 75,000 cans.
Yeah, storing cans and four packs, cartons and cases, and it's just a lot of work. I mean, you got to stay very organized to put all the pieces in play, much less make the beer and package it. So, but yeah, it's part of what you have to do to be able to brew the beer. So,
well, the fun part is we can go over to the Bronx Beer Hall and just drink. Honestly, I think that for us, like the beer bars and stuff, I think we have it easy. I mean,
I wouldn't say it's that easy, but I think our customers have it easy.
It's tiring for sure, but it's definitely
a different set of challenges.
A lot more fun. Yeah.
So if I go to the Bronx Beer Hall, you guys are on Arthur Avenue.
That's right.
And there's like, you're in a market, right? There's like food places.
We're the center of the Arthur Avenue retail market.
So I can walk around. What can I get? I can get clams. I can get salamis.
You can get salamis, you can get clams, you can get pizzas, you can get fresh meat right at the butcher that we serve prepared. Then you want to go take that same meat home and prepare it yourself,
I could go there. Can I get food and walk it over and sit at your bar?
Of course. We have our own menu. We also source all of our products from within the Arthur Avenue retail market or the Arthur Avenue.
If I sit at the bar, do you have food available from the market?
Yes, we have food available in the market. We have a very specific menu, but if you're interested in getting something else from within the market or anywhere else on Arthur Avenue, sit down at our bar. With us, you can get the five most popular sandwiches at Mike's Deli. You can get the five most popular pizzas from Cafe Mercado, which is a old school style pizza place within the market. We work with John's Pizzeria at night. We work with Mike's, Pete's Butcher Shop, right?
Dave, have you been over there?
I have, a bunch of times. Yeah.
So why don't we have a party for Beer Week? At the end of Beer Week, we should go to, you know, Bronx Beer Hall.
Yeah,
we definitely should.
That's where I want to go, man.
I just
Arthur Avenue
for fun. That's it.
Let's do it. Closing brunch of 2016.
That's closing brunch.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
And then James, up you're way up, and you're in Bronx.
Better than half.
Yeah, Riverdale, right?
Yeah, we're there's not too much left of the Bronx north of us, I guess. But yeah. So
what do you have going on for the end of Beer Week? To wrap it up.
The end of Beer Week, well, we'll be serving all New York State beers all week. with the exception of Thursday, where we'll be highlighting some beers from Serene, one of the smaller distributors here in New York. And they're bringing in some Canadian brewers, Parallel 49 and House Sounds.
Very nice.
And then along with those beers and the brewers that'll be there, we'll be featuring some of their other brands, Knee Deep, Logs and Farms, Yonkers from just north of the city, Carton, which we had a great brewery event last Thursday with Carton, and a couple other brands that are just really great.
So this passes around. This is the Bronx Belgian style pale ale in cans. That's pretty great. One thing I want to say, the history of Beer Week, I know Jimmy's number 43 has been part of it since the beginning, and what it was is there was Philly Craft Beer Week, which was the first craft beer week in the country, which wasn't that many years ago. And this crazy guy, Josh Schaffner, said we have to have a New York craft beer week. And he pushed it and made it happen for a few years. And then it really evolved naturally into the New York City Brewers Guild kind of forming and taking it over. So there's a lot of great history there. But I will say that the funny thing now is there's so many themes that I almost can't even talk about it because there's so many events and so many things that are happening. The breweries, and New York City breweries are making beers with New York State hops and malts, and it's far out, you know?
It's really
I think
exciting.
That you guys are all doing a great job. But tell us about this, again, the Bronx Belgian style pale ale, Damon, because I always like that beer, too.
Thanks.
And it's so nice to be up here, man, really.
It's great to have
your
you
home
here.
Base is so, I'm so proud of you guys.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so this was our spring seasonal beer for a couple years, and we're making it now year-round. It's a pretty interesting beer, very yeast-forward. We use three different strains of yeast, a couple Trappist strains and a Belgian ale strain, some Belgian candy sugar, and Belgian and German malts. And, yeah, very, you know, it's a very yeasty beer. So it's a little bubblegummy. When it warms up, it gets a bit smoky. Get some tangerine from the yeast. And then we use U.S. Sterling hop. In it, and it's 6.7%. So, yeah.
I'll tell you what, my buddy Dave Nagzik, he runs the Urban Oyster Tourism. A lot of people are doing beer tourism. Somebody's got to put together a Bronx tour, you know?
I mean,
are you doing
we
it?
We did that.
Well, tell
last
me
year, we, last year, the Bronx Beer Hall hosted the first Great Bronx Bar Tour. And we visited 20 different bars in the Bronx, 5 different hubs, 176 different people. Participated, and part of the tour was it wasn't just about the drinking. Obviously, it's a big part
of
the Great
Bronx Bar Tour. Of course, they did.
But it was it's about Bronx community, right? So we had we had the Bronx County Historical Society on these buses, giving people tours of the neighborhood and the community, and giving them historical information as they drove around in the 5 different hubs.
How'd that go towards the end of the...
I will tell you that by the end, everyone kept asking the tour guides to strip and to dance for singles.
And there were only two men standing. Two men standing that made it back.
I'll tell you, to our listeners in places like Germany and England, Michigan, California, you guys know if you're coming to New York, you got to go to the Bronx. You know?
That's right.
Is Brooklyn over or what?
No, Brooklyn. In our opinion, it never started.
Tired.
Are you guys going to do another Bronx tour?
Yep.
Great Bronx Bar
How
Tour.
How can people find out about it?
You can visit the GreatBronxBarTour.com. You can visit the Bronx Beer Hall's website. But we're definitely, last time we focused really on the west side of the Bronx. This time around, we're going
to
focus on the
east. Well, you sound like you used to be a radio DJ.
Yeah, people say that all the time. I have a degree in music, so, you know, I specialize in just enunciating my words and really pushing it out there.
Davey, you've been really active in the New York City Beer Week committee. We just had the opening night, So what do you think about the Beer Week this year? You think it's a long way?
It's definitely going in the right direction. I think that from everything that I hear from people that I know in San Francisco and Philadelphia, we still have a little bit of a ways to go to sort of catch up with them. And I think that we have so much potential here in New York and there's no reason why we shouldn't make this the best Beer Week in the country. But this year, I thought it was under Kelly's leadership, it was a step in the right direction. I thought the Smash Beer was a great idea. I think that having we did a really good job starting to talk to the retailers more to see what worked for them, what didn't work for them, and how what would be interesting to them. And that ultimately, it's the retailers that really drive the week. So we need to continue to do that going forward and listening to what they have to say. So I thought that this year we really took a step in the right direction.
And James, at Bronx Ale House, I mean, do you feel like that you've been involved in Beer Week? Do you feel like this has been a good experience for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've been involved in New York Craft Beer Week since we started, and before that, my experience in Manhattan. Beer Week existed before then, and the Beer Week has improved dramatically, you know, in terms of the involvement, the cooperation between the breweries and bars like ours, and you know, good beer still bars, especially. But now it's become more than that. It's not just craft beer focused bars, you know, the craft beer handful of bars that are really driving it. It's the breweries and all the bars working together, and you know, I feel like there's just, you don't have to be a craft beer bar to participate in Craft Beer Week. You know, every bar in New York is a craft beer bar.
That's actually one of the things that we were really trying to start pushing towards this year, because one of the things that I think has changed over the last year in New York City is that you're seeing more and more bars, non-craft beer bars or non-traditional craft beer bars, starting to realize that that's what people want now. And so one of the things that we talked about at an earlier meeting this year in with the Brewers Guild was getting these bars involved. And there was a little bit of pushback, but I think people are starting to realize that they need to get on the boat and they need to be a part of it.
It's very true. I mean, you know, even in our space on Arthur Avenue, what we see a lot of is that we see people who are coming up and asking for a Corona, asking for a Budweiser, asking for anything light as possible, or anything that's commercially available. And it's like, we make sure that we keep a very versatile tap line, five different styles, and we can fulfill whatever need it is that the customer has.
Right.
And therefore, they start getting into the craft beer scene. They understand, you're on Arthur Avenue already, artisanal food, you know, you're thinking about old school. It's like, all right, now it's time to give you some real flavor with your beer.
So this is it. This is New York City Beer Week. We're going to rush over down to Brooklyn to the New York City Brewer's Choice tonight because it's Tuesday, February 24th, when you listen to this. There's some great people. Yeah, great people here in this, the Bronx Brewery. We're in the conference room. Thanks, Chris and Damon. This is an awesome room. And anything else going on? Closing out New York City Beer Week in the Bronx. Who's got the best thing going on?
Oh, come on, that's not fair. I'll say this, we're celebrating our 2-year anniversary this month, so all month long, it's beer month for us.
At the Bronx Beer Hall. All right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm not saying, you know, we have one of the greatest things going on in the Bronx, but it's not the best, right? There's room for everyone, and I'll let James talk about what the Ale House is doing.
I always like to say that every week is Craft Beer Week.
That's right.
At the Bronx Brewery Ale House.
And that's why you're a good beer still, buddy.
Yeah, it's all of us.
every week is Beer Week and good beer still.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, if you're listening to this and you weren't there, you probably missed out on our third Barrel Aged Beer Fest, which for the first time, we're really excited that it included Barrel Aged beers from both Bronx Brewery and Gun Hill Brewery.
That's great.
There.
But we know, man. Yeah. We will come back. We'll talk more about the Bronx and a lot of exciting things. And it looks like you guys are going to put together another Bronx tour.
Yes, we are.
Now, this summer, we know we can go up to Gun Hill and hang out and try Jamaican food or something in your neighborhood.
That's right.
Of course. Come up to the Bronx Brewery in Port Morris and hang out in the backyard this summer.
That's right.
It's going to be a great year for beer in the Bronx. I want to thank everybody for coming to the show. Thanks for inviting me up here.
Thanks,
we're going to get a tour now of the Bronx Brewery, which is pretty awesome. I just saw the canning line. There's a dog that kind of, he's the boss, apparently. You know, sniffing my knuckles. But, and we'll also thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who helped to make this podcast happen tonight.
Right.
Thanks to Chris, Damian, Dave, James, Paul, and Anthony for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jubilee Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, impresario, Jack Inslee. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, yeah.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.